Let's turn together for our scripture reading to Judges chapter 7. The book of Judges in the chapter 7. And we'll start reading from verse 1. The book of Judges chapter 7. And the verse 1, please. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is faithful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be, that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and returned those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed the dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and fell unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the 300 and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. We'll end our reading there. And we know that the Lord will bless his word to each of our hearts. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank thee that we can have the liberty to read it. And we thank you, Lord, that we can call upon the Holy Spirit to ask us to ask him to help us to understand the Word of God. And we pray that thou wilt give us understanding as we open up thy Word. And we pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost will come up amongst us and help us to give that attentive ear. And we pray, Lord, that the Word of God will sink into our hearts today and encourage us even to go forward this week ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Judges chapter 6 and the verse 12, we see the call of Gideon. It says there that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And we have to ask the question, well, why did God have to call this man Gideon? Why did he have to call someone like this? Because we read in Judges 6 verse 1 that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So the children of Israel had sinned against God, and they were taken captive by this enemy who was called Midian for 7 years. Israel had sinned against God. And so Gideon, he is commanded to go. In chapter 6 and the verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he gives Gideon reassurance. He gives him assurance. He gives him encouragement, saying that, "Have I not sent thee?" That the Lord is going to be with him, and he's going to go before him, and he will help him to deliver this nation out of its sin. So, look what sort of a person Gideon is in verse 15, chapter 6, verse 15. It says, "But Gideon, he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So this man, he is in this family that's poor. He's from a poor background. And he's also the youngest in the family. He says he's the least. So you can see the attitude of Gideon's heart. He's a humble man. He's a humble man who's been called by God to lead this nation out of its sin. We also read on towards the end of chapter 6 how this family, Gideon and his father and the rest of the family, grew up in a place of idolatry. Where they lived was a place of idolatry. They worshipped the altar of Baal. And we learn how towards the end of chapter 6 how God told Gideon to go and take down the altar of Baal. And we learn that he did that. And we learn that those people came after him and they wanted to kill him, but they didn't. And we learn that Gideon, through his weakness, was prepared by the Lord to deliver the nation of Israel out of the enemy of Midian. Surely we can say with 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." There was a battle that took place in 1948 in Israel, which was the Battle of Netanyahu. He sounds like a Yahoo, but he was named after a general. And this general took the lead of the nation of Israel 8 days after they were restored as a nation. Because on the 15th of May 1948, they claimed independence. That was the 15th of May 1948. And they were virtually unarmed as a nation. They owned 5 machine guns. They had about 15 rounds of ammunition. They owned 1 mortar shell and 1 tank. And the surrounding Arab nations, they gave Israel 1 week to exist. 1 week. And between two particular towns, the Battle of Netanyahu took place. And the attack was planned by the Arabs 8 days after Israel proclaimed their independence. However, the Israelis had an idea that could either work or it might not work at all. But on the 23rd of May, 1948, 8 days after they pronounced independence, at midnight, the men and women and children lined cars, trucks and taxis along the beachfront. Anything that had an engine, they lined it alongside the beach, and they removed all the exhaust pipes from off the cars. And at the same time, another group took a number of large oil drums, and they put rocks in them. And they brought the oil drums up to the top of the hills, put the rocks in them, and at a given signal, the cars were started with the exhaust pipes off to make a loud noise, and the drums were rolled down the hills with the rocks in them. And it turned out that the Arab nations at midnight, they didn't know what it was, and they thought that the Americans had sent in Sherman tanks, and they didn't realize what it was, but it was just a simple little method. It could have worked, it might not have worked, but it did work. And as we come to this battle in chapter 7 that we've just read about this morning, it has a similar application to that of Gideon's battle, this little story that we've just told. Humanly speaking, no one would have thought that such a little thing like that could work to save a nation from being attacked like that. But as we look at this passage, you know, sometimes we think we have all our plans laid out, don't we? We think that this is the way to do things. If we cross a particular challenge or a problem, we say, this is the way I have to deal with this, or this is the way I have to cope with this problem. And we think that there's no other way that it could work. It has to be done this way, we think in our minds. And that reminds us of our stubbornness. Now, the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And we can be stubborn, we can do our own thing. We can go our own way in solving our problems. But Gideon, as a battle leader, he was going to learn to do things God's way. He was going to learn to do things God's way. And I want to think about that this morning. Gideon's battle done God's way. And the first thing we can notice in this chapter is that God selects the few to show his own power. God selects a few people here in this passage to show forth his own power. Look at chapter 7 and the verse 1. It says, "Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Pharaoh." Here Gideon, he steps out in faith early in the morning and he takes with him 32,000 soldiers against an enemy of 135,000 Midianites. They sit down here in this verse, we read, they relax and they camp next to a well where they're high above the Midianites who are down in the valley below. You might say, well, Gideon, he's taking the lead. He's trusting in the Lord. But we see in verse 2 that the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves," or that word vaunt means to boast, "lest they vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." What's the problem here? Well, the Lord is basically saying here that if Gideon's army were to win the battle with 32,000 soldiers, they would take the glory and they would possibly boast about themselves having won the battle and not give the Lord all the glory that is due to him. And so he tells Gideon in verse 3, he says, "Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." And as a result of that, as a result of him going and telling this, it says at the end of verse 3 there, "returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. There was a risk in battle that those who were fearful and afraid in the army could have infected the rest of the army that was there could have passed on that fear. Those who perhaps weren't so fearful could have been infected by those who were fearful of the battle. And so the Lord is telling Gideon to get rid of those who are fearful in the battle, who are afraid to go into this battle. He selects his chosen few. He selects his few who he will make strong through his own name. And we'll see later on how he gives glory to his own name through his own people. But you know, we're reminded of that verse in Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 4. A wonderful verse which says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Isn't that a wonderful comfort to God's people that he has selected us, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. And we know that through Christ Jesus we can be made strong. We can be made strong. And we'll see in a moment how God can glorify his own name even through the use of his own people. So Gideon is down to 10,000 men. But the Lord comes again to Gideon. That's not all he has to say to Gideon. He comes again in verse 4. And he says to Gideon, the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them, or test them, or prove them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee." And he tells them, he tells Gideon what to look for, who to select. He says in verse 5, "So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself." So the Lord is saying here, those soldiers who would drink by scooping up the water with their hands, those would be the ones who would remain to fight. But those who would get down on their knees and just simply lap the water up with their tongue like a dog, those would remain. And we learn in verse 6 that the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. So here Gideon, he's down now from 10,000 right down to 300 men. The other men fell to their knees and drank as if there was nothing to worry about. They were more concerned about their bodily refreshments than the battle. But these 300 men, they were more concerned about the battle, God's work, than about their bodily needs. They were dedicated to the work of God. And how we need to be dedicated to the work of God, even though we are few, even though we are few, we can still be dedicated to the work of God. The Lord can still make us strong in his own name. God has narrowed Gideon's army down to the lowest of the low, but he has broke them down to a number where the only thing that they can do is depend upon the Lord. Despise not that they have small things. Despise not that they have small things. We can be encouraged where two or three meet, gather together in my midst. The Lord says, "There am I in the midst. There am I in the midst." The Lord can meet with such few people. And today we can rejoice as God's people because we see by faith our Savior Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one who has taken on our humanity, the one who has touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and the one who has gone to the cross and shed his blood and provided that redemption for us and that deliverance that we can be freed from our sins. And through him, through Christ Jesus, we can be made strong. And God has shown his power by raising his son Jesus from the dead. We can triumph in that fact. We can triumph through the cross at Calvary. Christ has paved the way for man to get to God. Are we rejoicing in that privilege that we have? Are we rejoicing in our walk with God? Are we serving him with a joyful heart? Praise God, he has chosen a people. But praise God, he has paved the way through the only way, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And through that sacrifice, he has chosen us. He has chosen a peculiar people to be drawn unto himself. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And through redeeming his chosen people, God's glory is manifested through his own person, Jesus Christ. Are we glorifying our Savior Jesus Christ? as a peculiar people, as a different people? Are we serving the Lord to glorify Him and not to seek ourselves glory, but to glorify God in our lives? One of the catechisms is man's, which highlights the one of the doctrines or the truths of God's word. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Are we glorifying God in our lives? Let's think about next how God gives encouragement through His own providence. God does give encouragement through His own providence. We see that Gideon is now down to 300 men, insignificant men. They might seem weak in themselves if the army of Midian was to look upon these 300 men with their 135,000 men. They would have laughed at them, I'm sure. They might have seen them as insignificant men, but what else could they do but look to the Lord and listen to the leading of the Lord and follow His paths that He had before them? Look at verse 9. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, that's Gideon, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But he says in verse 10, if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. The Lord knew the responsibility of that was upon Gideon. He knows the responsibility of leaders in the work of God. And he knew the worries and fears that could have been upon Gideon as a man. He was the least in his father's house. We thought of that earlier. And he perhaps felt weak in himself. He was a young man. And the Lord knew. The Lord knows our troubles. He knows our weaknesses. But he tells him, if you go down to the enemy, you will be strengthened. Why? Because he goes on to say how you will hear the enemy speaking one to another, and you will hear them what they say, and you will seek encouragement from this fact. And he says, and you might wonder when you think of this battle, 300 men against 135,000, you might wonder how on earth could you possibly be encouraged when you look at verse 12 and you see that the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand of the seaside for multitude. You might wonder where in the world could you possibly find encouragement. But he goes down. Gideon goes down. He does what the Lord says. And he hears what the enemy says in verse 13. It says, when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed the dream, and lo, and this is the dream, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. What encouragement that is there for Gideon, that the Lord has provided for Gideon. Nobody can explain the circumstances of this event, only that the Lord implanted a vision in the minds of the enemy. And through conversation, the leader, Gideon, of the Lord's army, would hear what they were saying. And he would be encouraged through that vision to go forward into the battle and take the lead and encourage the rest of God's people to go forward. You know, as we live our Christian lives and as we go through this world, we see many discouragements in our society, don't we? And we can feel outnumbered when we see the pressures and influences that we are faced with. And perhaps this past while has been a struggle to you. Perhaps there's a giant in your life. There's something that hovers over you, and it stands over you like the Philistine giant that came out before the army of Israel in 1 Samuel, which came out morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Perhaps every morning you wake up, it's there. Every evening you put your head in the pillow, it daunts you. Perhaps it keeps you awake at night. Maybe it drives you to despair, like the army of Israel who were dismayed and greatly afraid. And perhaps you don't know where to look. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to look to. You know, the majority of the world today lives in the belief of fate, which is the development of events outside a person's control, going through a life of probability, of chance, of luck. And the pressure is on the believer to conform to an anti-God way of thinking, to conform to a worldview where everything happens outside a person's control, to believe in a false teaching where nothing in the world is directed, nothing in the world is guided, there's no guidance given to any man from a higher authority. And the believer can be moulded into this realm where they think there is no hope, no certainty, no guidance through a particular challenge that they're faced with. But we can be encouraged, because we aren't called to enter the Christian life and live a life without direction. We're chosen by God. We've been chosen by God. We've been adopted into the family of God. We have been united to Christ Jesus through his blood. And we follow a God who is a God of direction, who is a God of guidance, who is a God that has planned all things, and he has the paths laid out before us. And all we have to do is follow him and trust him. We have been chosen to follow a path that the very Creator has designed for every single one of us. And he has given us, if you like, the wisdom to trust in him. What does Job 28 verse 28 say? It says, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." He has given us the wisdom to acknowledge that we need a holy God to lift us out of our sinful state and to drive us forward in this life. We can be guided in our Christian lives by the providential keeping of God's word. God has providentially provided his word for us to read. It's here for us to be guided by God through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit applies the word of God to our hearts. Read the word of God. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 11, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually." Continually. The Church of Christ gets her strength, gets her encouragement by looking to God in his word, because there we find who? We find Christ. We find the Word of God incarnate. We see one who has gone before us, one who has taken on our humanity, one who has experienced death on our behalf, one who knows our troubles, he knows our weaknesses, and he knows our temptations, because he was tempted. In all points, he was tempted. And so he has passed into the heavens to make intercession for us, to pray for his people. We don't worship a God of wood. We don't worship a God of stone. We worship the true God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. We worship the same God that lived those many years ago, that led the forefathers that we read about in the Bible, that still exists today. Our God is unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God, we worship God who has from all eternity worked all things after the counsel of his own will. Trust Christ today and be encouraged to go forward in the work of God. I wonder, is there one here who is not saved? You need to stop living a life of uncertainty. Stop living a life of indirection. Trust Christ. Trust the one who has paved out our lives. Trust the one who has paved the way through Jesus Christ. He's made access for you, sinner, to get to God. Trust in him. Turn away from your sin. Look to Jesus Christ and walk after him. Finally, let us think about how God conquers the giants through the faithfulness even of his own people. Verse 15 says, "And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped, and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." This news that God provided for Gideon to hear drove him to his knees, didn't it? Drove him to his knees to worship God. His faith was strengthened. He was encouraged, as God said, as the Lord said he would be encouraged if he would go and listen to the enemy. And he was encouraged, and it drove him to his knees to worship God. And we see how he sets the example as a spiritual leader. He says at the end of verse 15, he says that he returned into the host of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." Here Gideon sets the example before the army of Israel that has left the fight. He displays his faith. He displays his confidence before the people that the Lord, the self-existing Lord, the eternal Lord, has delivered the enemy into their hands. He didn't come as a leader bringing his own thoughts. He didn't come wanting to do things his own way. He didn't come presenting the little scraps of talents that the army or himself might have to do this battle. No, he came promoting the Lord, the one who would conquer this giant that lay before them. They were trusting in the Lord. And we see that the army did, as Gideon commanded, very quickly. We see in verse 16, he divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand and empty pitchers, which were jugs filled with fuel to light the lamps, and lamps within the pitchers. And we see in verse 17 that he said unto them, "Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do." And we see in verse 20 that the three companies blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." They came before the enemy with nothing but a lamp in their left hands, with a pitcher, which, as I said already, was a jug or some vessel which carried fuel to light the lamp, and each had a trumpet in their right hand. And when the signal was given through Gideon's division of 100 men, remember they were divided into three divisions, and Gideon was in a group of one of those 100 men, and when he gave the signal, everybody else blew their trumpets and lighted up their lamps and fueled the lamps. As we read in verse 21 then, we see that they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Here they are standing with confidence, not in themselves but in God their Saviour. Here is an army who has followed the passion of their leader, and they have placed their hope and confidence completely in God. They're standing outside the camp with no weapons, not with their own efforts or talents or works. They're standing watching by faith for God to do the work. And sometimes, finishing that thought earlier, what we were thinking about of the influences and the pressures that can be upon us, sometimes in our Christian lives we think we can handle things and deal with our own situations by ourselves, and sometimes we don't like to admit in certain instances that we need somebody else's help. Somebody might say to you that you need to go and see the doctor. You say, "No, I don't, I'm fine." But you know, spiritually we can be like that as well. Sometimes we need to come afresh before the Lord and humble ourselves before the Lord, realize who we are, realize our need of Christ to help us. And whatever it is that may be challenging us, being pressured against us, maybe there's something we're trying to deal with, we need to look to the Lord by faith and trust in Him. He has the power to overcome that torment or situation or trial or difficulty that we're facing in our lives. He can help us through it. And we can look how God conquers the enemy through the faith and confidence that He has towards His people. By seeing what we've just read in the Word of God, He caused the enemy to run, to flee from the Israelite army through the, humanly speaking, small, insignificant stand which Gideon's army took. God saw their faith. He saw their hope towards Him. He saw their trust that was upon in Him. And the Lord, by His own strength, presented before His people the power of God by causing the enemy to crumble and smash and self-destroy themselves even before the eyes of God's people. God chased the giant away. The hindrance was gone. The dominating shadow of the enemy over Gideon's army was destroyed by the power of God. He saw the faith of His own people towards Him, and God showed them mercy. What does the Bible say many, many times throughout Scripture? It says, "God is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Be encouraged by those words in Exodus chapter 14 and the verse 13. Exodus 14 verse 13. It says, "Fear ye not, stand still." This is where Moses was taking the children of Israel across the Red Sea out of Egypt, remember? He said to them, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." You remember the same sort of words in 2 Chronicles, the chapter 20, and the verse 17. It says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Are you encouraged to go forward with the Lord? Let's step out upon the promises of God. Get under the blood if you're not yet under the blood. We know that our Saviour, our God, is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Focus on giants. A little quote said, "Focus on giants, you tumble, or you stumble. But if you focus on God, your giants tumble." Get your eyes on Christ today. See him all that he is. See the glory that is presented through him. Let's sing another hymn together.